Starting at verse 1 all the way through to verse 13. If I speak in the tongues of men and or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardships that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love.
Father, as we commence this new series looking at the fruit of the Spirit, I pray, Father, that there will be a new understanding of this concept for us and exactly the way in which we can get this right in our lives. Father, we pray that you will speak into our lives, you'll speak into our hearts, into our minds, and that, Father, has already been expressed, we will not leave being the same, that Father, we will take something with us that can transform our lives to being more like you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So as we look at this series, the series is entitled The Fruit of the Spirit. The Fruit of the Spirit. I have to say that I've really been quite hesitant to commence this series on the fruit of the Spirit. It's something that I've looked at for a while and been a little unsure about it. And the reason for it is that as much as it seems pretty straightforward on the surface, you don't have to do much digging to realise that it's actually quite a lot more complicated than it first appears. I'm also reluctant because I would say that most people know of this topic as well. And I think when people are aware of a topic, it becomes more difficult to preach on. And people know what the fruit of the Spirit is. If we had the Brightwaters kids here, they'd be telling you what the fruit of the Spirit is and isn't. You know, they'd tell you the fruit of the Spirit's not a coconut and it's not a banana and all of those sort of things. They'd be telling you that it's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and some other things in there as well, and self-control. You know, they would be able to rattle that all off and say, that's the fruit of the Spirit. But by far my greatest struggle as I look at this is, as you look at all the traits that are contained within the fruit of the Spirit, I have to recognise and declare right at the very beginning, I don't even come close to meeting that standard. And when I recognise that I have the Spirit of Jesus Christ living in me, it's almost a little bit embarrassing to declare that standard which the fruit of the Spirit declares we should have, I seem to be blatantly missing the mark. So this series is a candid reflection, not so much on when we love or a love back and it all feels really good. We're not so much talking about that. We're not talking so much about those times when life's going really well and you have a real joy in your heart. And we're not talking about those times where there's a little kitty cat that's got stuck up in a tree and you go and you show kindness by helping it down out of the tree. That's not what this series is about at all. This series is about how the fruit is displayed in our lives when the truth is, the fruit of the Spirit's the last thing we want to show. Those times when life is a little bit more difficult than we would like it to be. Those times when our humanity almost takes over. We don't want to love because, quite frankly, hate seems like a much more realistic response to this particular situation. I don't want to talk about joy because I don't have joy at the moment. This is a horrible moment. I want to experience something else. Gentleness, I'll tell you about gentleness. You know, those kind of moments, which we all know are the reality of our life, what do we do with that when we line it up with the fruit of the Spirit? And today we're going to start with the topic of love. As we had read for us by Bonnie, obviously just sorting out her Bible passages for a wedding day, 1 Corinthians 13, a bit of practice there. We've heard it all read many times over, haven't we, at weddings? 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient, love is kind, does not envy, does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonour others, it is not self-seeking, it's not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrong. We love showing all these traits, don't we? But Jesus declares in Matthew 5, 43 to 48, you've heard it said, love your neighbour and hate your enemy. I think that sounds reasonable. Love your neighbour, hate your enemy. But Jesus says, I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. Love your enemy. As those words are spoken, love seems to be an inappropriate trait to put beside that. Because as we say those words, they're my enemy, that very word enemy tells you that I dislike them. The fact that they're my enemy says that we do not get on. I want to keep a record of their wrongs. I want to keep a record of the things they have done to hurt me. I want to be angry. I want them to be dishonored. They have chosen to do the wrong thing by me. They have chosen to hurt me. And now, not loving them seems the most appropriate response. Now, it is true that most times our emotions aren't quite as severe as that, and I recognise that. We would declare we don't hate them, we just don't like them very much. Or we're just choosing to avoid them. And somehow within us, we have this thought that's good enough, and that's what God had in mind. As long as you don't hate them, it's all okay. But is that really displaying the love fruit in our lives? Today, what I want to do is avoid just declaring something along, flippantly declaring the Bible says this, 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 and this, go do it and it'll all be okay. Because I think we would all be honest enough as we sit here to say it doesn't work that way. Many of us have had relationship issues with people that have struggled to be sorted out for a long time. We've had relationship difficulties that just seem as though there's no answer in sight. And as we look at our individual scenarios with people who we've struggled with, it seems to go on and on and on. And it just doesn't seem a way through. I want to suggest that there is a workable answer, and we'll talk about that a little later in the sermon, but we do recognise and have to be honest that the struggle is there. I also want to declare, so we've got to love our enemy. That's the first problem with love. We've got to love our enemies, which is a bit tough to deal with. I want to also declare that the other problem with love is, on this list of all that love is, I think one of the things that should be there is love is something that can really, really hurt. Love is a fruit of the Spirit that can really, really hurt and has the potential to cause us more pain than almost anything else on the earth. This week I spent some time with a family that clearly had a lot of love in their home. A family with three beautiful children, a six-year-old boy, a set of twin girls about 5 months old. And as well as that, there was a husband who clearly loved his wife. Yet as I spent time with that family, there was utter despair and utter grief because these children's mum, the husband's wife, had passed away from cancer, age 32. All of a sudden, all of their love was breaking them to bits. That love was hurting. Only 2.5 years ago, I stood on a Newcastle beach. The wind was blowing an absolute gale on the day, but this couple stood in front of me, exchanged vows, dedicated their lives to each other, a day of beautiful love for each other. And 2.5 years on, I'm conducting this funeral. Love hurts. And if we do love properly, it has the potential to cause us a lot of pain as well. So we're supposed to support our enemies, love them. How are we supposed to do that? And on top of that, love in reality can and maybe should cause us pain and cause us heartache. So what on earth is this love thing all about, and why do we even bother with it? I ask you to just, if you'd like to turn your Bibles to another example, Exodus chapter 2 and verses 1 to 10. Exodus chapter 2 and verses 1 to 10. Now a man from the house of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months, but when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds, among the banks of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her slave girl to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This is one of the Hebrew babies," she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" "Yes, go," she answered, and the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." So the woman took the baby and nursed him. When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and she became her son. He became her son. She named him Moses, because I drew him out of the water. This whole event took place as the Israelites had become slaves to the Egyptians. There really wasn't much good that the Egyptians could feel. This was a horrible time in their history. They were oppressed with forced labor. They'd built a couple of cities. The Egyptians hated them, and they worked them ruthlessly. For most, the only real joy that they ever had in their lives, only joy they had, was their own family. And the prospect of having a new son or daughter born into their family was the sense of joy, a joy that came to them. But then this decree came, and we have it in chapter 1, verse 22. "Every boy that is born you must throw into the Nile and must let every girl live." Just imagine, if you like, the heartache and pain that spread through the Israelite nation every time a woman discovered she was pregnant. Instead of being excited, there must have been unbearable fear and despair. Every husband and wife almost had to make a decision. Would we choose to love this child, or would we treat this baby boy like almost an inanimate object and therefore not love, so that the pain would be reduced? Moses' mum chose to love, knowing a day would come when she would have to give him up. Loving can be hard. Making that papyrus basket, it says it was coated in tar and pitch, but I would imagine that was really bound up with all the tears of a mum, knowing that this basket was to say goodbye to her son. We couldn't even imagine the moment that she placed Moses in that basket and released him. Not because she didn't care, but because she loved from her very being. Love can hurt. Loving is hard. It really can and does come at a cost. We should never be so naive to think that it doesn't. So is it really worth it? Is it really worth it? This love thing, is it really worth it if it costs so much? The reality is to not love, to not be patient or to be impatient, to be unkind, to be envious, to be boastful, to be rude and self-seeking and always angry, keeping a record of what everyone does against you, pays a much higher price. Pays a much higher price. I talked about the difficulty of the funeral that I needed to conduct this week. Well, there was a funeral that was harder that I needed to conduct some time ago. I was contacted by the funeral director and simply said, would you be free to conduct this funeral? And I said I would. And he said that the person who's organising the funeral is the nephew of this man who has passed away. And so I made contact with the nephew, and the first thing the nephew said to me when I was talking to him was, yeah, I drew the short straw. Somebody had to organise this funeral, and I was the only one who was around, so I suppose I've got to do it. And as we started to talk, one of the words that he said was he was a selfish, bigoted old man. Selfish, bigoted old man, and quite frankly, I don't even know whether any of the family are even going to bother turning up to the funeral. And so I thought, okay, there's a little bit of grief there, but let's just try and put that aside and let's try and highlight some of the strengths of this man's life. And so we started to talk. So, you know, what sort of, you know, obviously there were some difficulties there, but there must have been some good things there. And his nephew thought for a while. And he goes, no, I don't think I can think of anything. There's nothing that I would want you to say in this funeral if we're going to paint an honest picture of what he is like. That if you said something encouraging, people would laugh at you. So the day of the funeral came. There was the nephew. There was myself. There was the funeral directors. And one neighbour at the funeral. And that neighbour was just a professional funeral goer tour. That was it. Sad day. Loving might be hard, but to not love, to not display the fruit of the Spirit that is love, comes at far greater cost. A far greater cost. I recognise I've painted a very difficult, different and difficult picture of love. And I've done that today to show it is a reality of the package. And Jesus himself showed that to be true, didn't he? As we have the shortest verse in the Bible in John 11, verse 35, where it says there, Jesus wept. Lazarus, his good friend, had died. Jesus loved his family, loved this family. They were like his own family. Martha and Mary were grief-stricken that their brother had died, and seeing them hurting brought him to tears. Love came at a cost to Jesus as well. We see the same in Luke 22 as he came to the moment before he was arrested and crucified. He loved his father, he loved the world, he loved his enemies, he was willing to die for love for them. But we see him there, tears in his eyes, as he prepared to go to the cross. Love can be difficult. But we need to remember that God is love. He gave us love. And love never fails. It is God's gift to us. So it is worth the effort. It is worth the effort. There will be times when we really don't want to love. Everything within us wants to do the opposite. But what do we do with that? Because at the same time, as much as everything within us says, I don't really want to love in this scenario, everything within us also says, but I also want to honour God. I want to live a life that honours God. I'm struggling with how to do this love thing, but I want to honour God. What do we do when someone causes us pain and it's more pain than we can bear? It is at this point we need to reflect on what this series is actually all about. It's at that point when we need to remember the reality of what we're talking about in this series, and it will be right through the series, and that is we are looking at the fruit of the Spirit. We are not looking at the fruit of humanity. The series is not based on what flows out of us in our own strength. It's not the fruit of humanity, it is the fruit of the Spirit. It's not the fruit of Tim or the fruit of David or the fruit of Mari or the fruit of Brandon. It is the fruit of the Spirit. Our fruit, our love, will always fall short of the mark. It will always will. In and of ourselves, we will always struggle with our enemies. We can't love our enemies in our own strength. It's not something we can do. But the strength of this, but the Spirit of Jesus Christ living in us can. And that's what makes all the difference. You know that relationships that you have, you will really battle with from time to time. But what we need to do is let it go, and we need to declare, Lord, I can't forgive. I can't love. I can't deal with this. I need you to do it for me. I need the fruit of your Spirit, the love of your Spirit to permeate through my life. I need you to take over because in my humanity I fall short of the mark. And that's not a cop-out. It's just doing what we should always do. Hand all of our life, all of our circumstances into God's care. And simply say, you please do this for us, in and through us. When the love we have handed out has caused us heartache, through loss or death or rejection, of course we struggle with it. Again, we simply say, Lord, would you let the love of your Spirit, the fruit of your Spirit, wash over me, because I need to do this in your strength. It's not our fruit. It's the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the God of the universe, doing his work in us. We simply need to be willing to ask. Our family had for some time a difficult relationship with a member of our family, and it really became just a whole lot easier to kind of ignore that relationship, and really we became distant because of that. Did we honour God through that situation? Probably not. But it was hard to see any meaningful way in which that relationship could possibly be restored. And you know what God did for us? The most amazing thing. He worked in the heart of this person that we struggled with in our family. And also what he did is he prevented our hearts from becoming hard as well. And now, in the most wonderful way, a relationship which we couldn't see any hope for, couldn't see any real potential of getting ever back together, has been wonderfully restored because the Spirit of Jesus Christ worked not only in our hearts, but in their hearts as well. That's how it works. The fruit of the Spirit working through us. He is the one who heals our pain. He helps us by giving the love of the Lord not only to us, but to others as well. He shows us the beauty of the love fruit. I just wanted to share with you a story today that happened 22 years ago. 22 years ago in Maryborough on June the 2nd, 1994, there was this beautiful Christian family. They were the Foley family, Chris and Glennis Foley. Chris Foley had been a member, I don't remember whether you remember the music group Family back in the 1970s. They were a part of the Christian music group that toured right around Australia and around the world. But they were a beautiful, beautiful family. They had a little boy whose name was Joshua, who was 3 years old. And Joshua had been out with his mum, and on this particular day, he ran out from behind the car straight into the path of a motorbike. And as the motorbike hit him, Joshua was pretty much killed right immediately on that side. Horrible, horrible moment. The name of the bike rider was Denny. At the funeral service, Mum and Dad had decided that they would have a celebration service where his older siblings would be able to just speak of some of the love that they had for Joshua. And as much as it was a time of celebration, obviously it was a very difficult service. And the funeral service got underway and was partway through when Denny, the bike rider, chose to come into the service and he quietly made his way in and sat at the back. Now, I don't know how Chris and Glennis found out about it, but they knew Denny had come into the service. And so they both stood up from the front of the church, walked back, put their arm around Denny, and asked him to come and sit with them at the front of the church. Because they wanted to let him know that they recognised his grief. They recognised his pain. And they refused to show him anything other than the love of Christ. An absolutely emotional moment that you couldn't possibly imagine. But then last night, as I was doing a little bit of research to, I guess, find out all the facts of that story and when that all happened, because we were in Maryborough at the time, I actually found out some other news as I was checking through all of this. That bike rider, Denny, after some time, his life went off the rails a little bit, and him and his wife gave birth to a little boy who they named after Joshua. And sadly, when their son was also age 3, he tragically died in an accident as well. I tell you, I was devastated as I read that. I wanted to bring this story today to finish it with that great story of the way in which he was loved, and I'd love to say it all, you know, turned out lovely in the end. I was devastated. Life can be hard. Loving can be incredibly difficult. The Foley family have been there for Denny, this time again, in the middle of his grief. We don't know what the outcome of that will be. That took place in 2013. I'm not sure how it's all worked out since then. All the Foley family had to offer was the fruit of the Spirit, the love that Jesus Christ could give. And that's what Denny needed to receive. The fruit of the Spirit's not just for us. It's also how we minister to others. There will be people around us who need the love of Jesus Christ. They need the love of Jesus Christ to shine through us. And particularly in those times when it's the last thing that we want to show. It's the last thing we have to give. We need to be willing to say, Lord, not me. but would you allow your love to permeate through me? Because I know these people need your love. The Spirit of Jesus Christ living in us and working through us. The fruit of the Spirit's not ours. It is the fruit of the Spirit that works in us and through us. We just need to be willing to let it happen. Let's pray together. Dear Father, today we've been somewhat confronted with the reality of this world that we live in. And we recognize that there are the very real struggles. And they don't seem to disappear. There seems to be more of them. And so, Father, more than anything else, we want to thank you for Jesus. We want to thank you that you have loved us so much that you sent Jesus into the world. We want to thank you and praise you that not only did you send Jesus in the world to be our salvation, but you have also left us with your Holy Spirit. And your Holy Spirit is working in our lives and working through us. Father, we know in our humanity we are so weak. We know that every inclination of our heart and our mind is evil. And yet through Jesus Christ, through your Holy Spirit, you want to bring about goodness. Father, would you let the love of your Spirit work in each of our lives? And Father, I pray that the love of your Spirit will work in those difficult situations that people face even today as they sit here. And that their responses will not be responses of their humanity, but responses of your Spirit. And this we pray. Through your Son Jesus, who you gave to us out of your love. Amen and amen.